Some years ago, I was asked to teach a class, Sabbath school class at the academy, one Sabbath morning, and it was on Martha. So I worked it over and got ready to teach. And then when I got over there, I found that the whole school had gone to Connecticut for some special meeting. So I didn't teach the class. But in the process of getting ready for the class and spending all that time on Martha, I came to the conclusion she was a very nice woman. I don't say I fell in love with her, but you know, Mary is the one that everybody says so many good things about. You know, Mary was chose the better part, and Mary was the first to the tomb, and Mary was the first one to proclaim that Jesus had risen. La, 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 Mary, Mary, Mary. And Martha, well, she's cumbered about with too many practical things, and she chose the lesser part, and she's got a bad press, right? She's got a bad press. And by the time I got through, I thought, no way. Martha did some good things for us that were better than what Mary did for us, I think. Anyway, let's take a look at this group. We just had the scripture reading. Thank you very much. And we have three people. Mary, we always put her first. She's the middle one. There's Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Now, who were they? Well, it specifically says that the two girls were sisters. We've always assumed that Lazarus was a brother. Now, they must have been orphans. Their parents must have died. Why would they be living in Martha's house? For that matter, why would it be called Martha's house? Why is it not called Lazarus's house? After all, he was the male in the group, so shouldn't he be the one that was the big cheese around there? Did I hear a woman say no? Well, I'll have to admit that Queen Elizabeth was one of the best monarchs the British ever had. And last I heard, she was a woman. So, and she refused to marry, by the way. She refused to marry because if she had married all of a sudden, her husband would have had to take precedence, and she didn't want that. So she stayed single. By the way, Nightingale did the same thing. She wanted to do what she wanted to do, and she refused to get married so that she'd be free to lead out in the nursing program that we have today. But anyway, here's Martha. It's listed as her house. That Academy Sabbath School lesson suggested that she might have been a widow and that her husband left the house. And maybe that is true. But obviously, they've got to be orphans. Their parents have to have died. Or why else would they be living together without the parents around? Now, what happened when the parents died? Well, I think that Martha, being the eldest and being a responsible sort of person, took it upon herself to shepherd her siblings. They would now need somebody to guide them, and she would be the one to do that. Well, Lazarus apparently was young. You don't have to believe anything I'm saying right now. You can argue it another way yourself. I'm just telling you how I came to this. Lazarus is the youngest one, and he realizes he's not in a position to argue with his big sister. On the other hand, if Mary's in the middle, she doesn't feel that same urgency or necessity to obey her big sister. So she doesn't. And the effect of the parents' loss, and I think we have to come to this conclusion, Mary kind of went to pieces when it came to her standards and all. What are we going to do now? And she didn't control herself very well. We're going to come to Simon in a little while. In the feast in Simon's house, remember? And Mrs. White says that Simon was her uncle, and that he was the one who led her into sin. Did you know that? Now, putting those two things together, and the fact there's no parents to bring in income, did Martha more or less hire herself out for jobs? Not cleaning windows, I don't think they had glass in those days, but maybe washing clothes and cleaning people's houses. They would be short on cash. And I'm just thinking that maybe one day Simon says to his niece, you know, I could show you a way to make money. In fact, you could make more money in a week than your sister makes in 6 months. Oh, how's that? Well, this way. Oh, but I shouldn't do that. My rabbi will be unhappy with me. Who, your rabbi? Let me tell you a thing or two about him. And about a whole lot of other Pharisees. Well, maybe. So apparently she did. See how that could work out that way? And he paid her for it. And she was now known to be willing. And she began to make money. And then what happened that her uncle had not warned her about, she got a bad name. And it is thought that she had to leave town and went up to a town in the north called Magdala. And that's how she got the name Mary Magdalene. And I think that while she's up there, because Jesus spent a lot of time in Galilee, that's a county, he spent a lot of time up there, that she must have listened to him speak and was converted. Mrs. White said 7 times she had heard Jesus uttering loud cries to the Father in her behalf to help her to overcome this temptation that she had. Now, whether that means that she repented and wanted to quit and Jesus prayed for her, and then she went back to it. And then he prayed for her again, and he went back into it, and again she backslid. Or whether he prayed 7 times, one after the other, and that worked a bit. Mrs. White does say 7 times. She had listened to his loud cries in her behalf. That could explain why. Well, then she must have gone home, because she's back down there in Bethany when Jesus comes through. Well, we got the setting here. And they come. Now, let's take this scene that we've just talked about. Martha's in the kitchen. Why is she in there right now? Well, it's coming up lunchtime. And most husbands are happy to have their wives in the kitchen getting the next meal ready when there are only two of them. But what had happened right now? When it was getting close to mealtime, there's a knock on the door, and here is Jesus. Who goody goody, Jesus, come in. But along with him are 12 men. She's not fixing a meal for herself and her sister and Lazarus. That's 3. She suddenly got to fix for 3 plus 13. How many of you women would like to do that? It's 11:45 now. Can you have a meal on the table by noon? Somebody scoffed at the idea, which is appropriate. But what would you do if something like this happened? You'd open up the freezer and take out a few things and pop them into the microwave, and who knows, you might even have something ready by 12, or at least by 12:30. But you don't have a freezer, and you don't have a microwave. If you're going to cook anything, you've got to light a fire in the oven or in the fireplace and hope you can get it burning and get it down to where it's just red coals, and heat something up in a pot. But you've got your sister helping, and Lazarus is running around to fix things and choose some wood out of the wood pile, right? Mary's not doing nothing. She's sitting in there talking with the guest. Mary, could you please help me? Mary, could you please come and help me? Now, do notice she doesn't say, Lazarus, please tell Mary to help me. This is one thing I think makes him younger than the others. She turns to Jesus. Jesus, please tell my sister to come and help me. Now that says a lot. This is maybe the first time that Martha has met Jesus. And yet she feels free to ask the guest. See, if they'd met many times, I would say that she saw Jesus as a father figure. And in fact, she probably did. She felt free to go to him with this very private family problem. Jesus, please tell my sister to come and help me. And what did Jesus say? Oh, Martha, Martha, you are cumbered about many things. But Mary has chosen that better part. That wasn't what she wanted him to say, was it? He's in here sitting listening to me. Supposing Martha had been in there sitting listening to Jesus, what would have happened? The Bible doesn't say what would have happened. And so many things that we'd like to know, what would have happened if somebody had done something differently. And we don't know here what Jesus would have said. And apparently they went ahead and had the dinner, and everybody still loved Jesus, and it was all over. Well, that's that scene there, isn't it? But Martha is mentioned in four different places in the Bible. We've looked at one of them. Now let's go over to John chapter 12. Now this next scene comes after Lazarus is raised, so we're going to come back to that one. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. We're all acquainted with that scene. But this is called the feast in Simon's house. And usually, this is placed on Saturday night before the triumphal entry. But I read one of our Adventist authors who argued rather well that maybe this happened on Wednesday night instead. I would say, forget Wednesday night, except there's one thing that has troubled me for a long, long time. This was in the springtime. So sunset's going to be about 6 o'clock, wherever you are around the world. Going to be about that same time. How did they manage to put on a feast between sunset and bedtime? I don't know. Have you worked that one out? Have you ever worried about it? Because remember, they can't do any cooking on Sabbath. And they can't do arranging of chairs and things like that. But apparently they did do all that because I think it was Saturday night. And Martha is there serving. So Martha is a good help. She's a good help. And let me tell you, ladies who help, that Ellen White says, we need the Marthas. Boy, do we. Understand there's going to be a potluck supper this morning. I hope there is. Ooh, I hope there is. So I hope that we've got some Marthas here today. It's a long way back to my house on an empty stomach. Appreciate that. We need the Marys and we need the Marthas. See, that's a good point for Martha, isn't it? That's one reason I like her. She does get the food ready. And she's helping. Was she paid to help when she went to Simon's house? We don't know that. But at least she's there and she is helping. That is part of Martha, is to help when people need help, need what she can do. Okay. Now let's go on to the next scene. But the next scene comes in John 11. We're going to go back here a little way. Remember, of course, that Lazarus died. You remember that John 11 is all about Lazarus' death and resurrection. Hey, I got a little confused last night, because the night before last, because Jim asked me what I wanted for a scripture reading. And I knew that the scripture reading I wanted was in A chapter 11. I also knew that the death of Lazarus is in A chapter, I'm sorry, Lazarus' death is in somebody's chapter 11. And I knew that the visit to Mary and Martha's home was in somebody's chapter 10. And I thought then it's got to be John chapter 10, right before John chapter 11. But if you remember, it was not. Scripture really was in Luke chapter 10. And then we go to the death is in John chapter 11. And there's no relationship really between these two, except it's purely coincidence. Well, now, in John chapter 12, we know that Lazarus was sick. And Mary and Martha sent Jesus a message. You remember what it said? Oh, Jesus, our little brother is so sick, and we want him better. Please, could you come and help him? We don't know any other way to do it, and we trust you, and we love you, and you know, we've served you meals many times. Will you please come and help us? Is that what it says? Is that what their message was? It's six words long. It doesn't ask for anything. He whom thou lovest is sick. Did it ask for anything? Did it say, Jesus, please make our brother better? They say, Jesus, if you want us to love you, please you answer our prayer, and then we'll consider following you. Is that what he said? There is a prayer like that back in the first of John. Remember the nobleman whose son was sick? And he asked Jesus to make his son better. And Jesus said, if you don't see a miracle, you're not going to follow me, are you? Ooh, that's right. He did. That is what I was thinking. And Jesus went right ahead and cured the son, because he did want to save that man's soul. But Mary and Martha didn't say, we'll love you, Jesus, if you heal our brother. They didn't even ask Jesus to heal the brother. They just said, he's sick. Why did they think that was all they needed to say? Could it be because they knew Jesus did love them? And they knew Jesus had healed a lot of people. And they were sure that Jesus would heal their brother. And did he heal him? He even told his disciples, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad he died. He didn't say that many words, did he? Now he's approaching town for our next verse, which will be 19 to 28. I better get the right chapter. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary. Interesting passage this is. Who went first this time? And who sat in the house? Why doesn't anybody give Martha credit for being the first to get out there and meet Jesus when he came? When she could get a little credit, she doesn't get it. If there's any credit going around for Mary, she gets it. Have you ever been like this? Did you notice, too, that when Martha left, nobody noticed? But the next verse or two after where I stopped, Mary gets up and goes to the tomb, and everybody follows Mary. And nobody followed Martha. I had two daughters that could fit into that. One of them, when she walked into a room when she was in her teens, every boy in that room knew she was there. When his sister walked into the room, nobody knew she was there. It turned out they both got well married, but still it was interesting to me to watch how everybody watched. And likewise with Mary. When Mary went somewhere, everybody watched her. And when Martha did it, nobody knows. Nobody missed. Well, maybe I'm making a bigger thing out of this, but it's kind of interesting. But now, when she gets to Jesus, what does she say to him? Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Is that a complaint? What is that? It is a plain statement of fact. If Jesus had been there, the brother wouldn't have died. That's why he was glad he wasn't there. Because it was important for Lazarus to die. Did Martha give up her faith in Jesus? No. But had Martha been kind of carrying this thing? This was a weight on her mind. And it was sort of a complaint. Was Jesus offended by it? This is something that I think Martha can be thanked for showing us that Jesus is not offended when we tell him our complaints. Even if they are complaints about God. God, why didn't you answer that prayer the way I asked it? Why did you let that accident happen? Does it offend God to have us ask that way? Do you know there's one place where Jesus said, I'm doing all these things and you never ask me why? Jesus actually complained about that. If you'd ask me why, then I could explain it. And you'd understand. So go ahead. He is not wearied by our complaints. And thank you, Mary, for that, and Martha, for that one. And then, what does Jesus say? Jesus said, he will rise again. And Martha says, yes, I know he will at the last day. That's an interesting thing. She did believe that. But then Jesus went beyond that. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, who did Mary make that? Who did Jesus make that very important statement to? To Mary? You go to a funeral, and I'll bet you in most cases, somebody will read that passage. I am the resurrection and the life. What a good thing it is for us to know that. It was Mary that got Jesus to say that. Now he goes on, and it is a little difficult. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Have any of you got any loved ones that have died? You do. Nobody else does? You didn't love your mother when she died? Oh. Poor mother. Oh. You did love your mother when she died, didn't you? Do you have any children that have died? And did you weep as others who have no hope? No, you say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. My mother believed in Jesus and she will live again. I tell you, I believe that. I might not be here this morning, but I didn't believe. Because last Monday, my younger sister phoned me and said, at 3:30 this morning, your brother Malcolm died. Now, he'd been going downhill for a long time. And we knew it wasn't going to be a long, long time before he died. But we didn't realize it was going to be that soon or that sudden. They managed to get him into a hospice the night before. And he was in the hospice. The nurse said she checked on him at 3 o'clock in the morning and he was okay. And at 3:30 he was gone. So what am I relying on now? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Right? You've been relying on that too. Thank you, Martha, for getting that out of Jesus. Now, Jesus went on in another verse here and said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, that's a little harder to simplify, isn't it? Do you believe this, Mary? And I do like Mary's reply. She says, yea, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Did Mary really understand what Jesus said when he said, he that believeth in me shall never die? Did she say, yes, I do understand that? No, she didn't. She said, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, that backed off a whole long way. And I kind of like that because I remember when I was in academy and my twin brother and I did rather well in algebra. Didn't have any problem with that. And the teacher wanted to explain sometime what logarithms are. Do you know what logarithms are? Have some of you men, did you ever use logarithms? Yeah, Jim did back there. And there was a table in the back of the book. Numbers and numbers and numbers and numbers. And all these numbers were fractional exponents. I have never been able to figure out a fractional exponent. I can figure the square root of 4 and memorize that. But a logarithm is a fractional root. But the teacher would put these things on the board, and just me and my twin brother, and he was talking to us. But all I could do was, I felt, hey, that's Martha. See, she says, yes, Lord. Yeah. But I do believe you are the Christ. She had got that far, and that was a long way to come. That was present truth in that day. She didn't really have to understand how, if you believe in Jesus, you'll never die. She didn't have to understand that. But to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah, that was present truth for them. That she accepted. But Jesus was able to tell her these other things, and we can read about them, thanks to Martha. Well, then, of course, the next scene is they're down at Lazarus' tomb. And Jesus says, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. And what did a voice say? One voice came out loud and clear. Well, don't do that. He stinks. I'm glad the King James was still free enough to use strong words. I don't think they use that word in the modern versions. He stinks. And I can agree with that. I was visiting my twin brother's house, and there was, I think it was a dead possum behind the house. And nobody did anything about it for a couple of days. And then I knew it was the day for the garbage to be picked up, and somebody had put the garbage can out front. And I said, this is bad enough this week. I sure don't want to do anything about it next week. So I picked up that possum by its tail. Fortunately, his long tail and thin, nothing much on it, you know. I took it in front and dropped it in the garbage can. Boy, I recognize what Martha is talking about. Blessed be Martha for helping us with these things. That was one concentrated smell. Now, what's good about that? Why am I so happy that Martha drew everybody's attention to it so that John could write it into the gospel that he wrote? Because she proved that Lazarus was dead. You see, you could argue about the Jairus' daughter. That in fact, well, she only just died. In fact, it was just a deep sleep and they thought she was dead. You could argue that, can't you? And they could even say the same about the son of the widow of Nain. Now, somebody told me recently that in England, they used to put people in coffins, wooden coffins, and bury them in the ground. They still do, by the way. But they didn't embalm them first. And then some years went by, and they needed coffins, and they also needed space to bury new people in. So they dug up a lot of these coffins and found scratch marks on the lid. Have you heard those things? Yeah. From which they concluded that the people were not really dead when they were buried. And they had tried to get out and they couldn't. And so then they began drilling a hole in the lid and running a string from the hole up through the ground above it and attaching it to a bell. And then have somebody sit there all night to hear if the bell rang. As you could. So maybe the widow's son's, the widow of Nain's son, was actually in that condition when he was buried. I mean, you see, you can argue this. But blessed be Martha for announcing to all of us that Lazarus was dead. He was rotting. He produced an unpleasant aroma. He stank. And what does that do for us? That does for us what Jesus wanted in this whole experience. And why he let Lazarus die. He wanted to prove that he can raise the dead. Even when they are rotted, he can raise it. And when he says, those who believe in me will rise in the last day, we can go to this experience and say, yes, absolutely, we know that those who love Jesus will rise in the last day because Jesus loves them and he won't leave anybody behind that he loves. He wants us in heaven. So, thank you, Martha. Thank you for cooking the food and being a good example to Adventists in Elmira to fix the food for the visiting preacher. And thank you too for these notes of hope and joy that she has given to us. See, Jesus does what he can, but he wants us to cooperate. And you know, I think we ought to thank Lazarus. Lazarus had to go through the experience of dying twice. Most people, you die once and that's it. But Lazarus did it twice, so let's be grateful to him. And of course, be grateful to Mary. She did run around and tell people that Jesus had risen from the grave. So it really is a wonderful little family. But were they a rich family? Did they have a fancy house? Had they all been to college and got degrees? Or were they a lot like us? Really a bunch of ordinary people. And we say, what can I do for the Lord? You don't know what you can do for the Lord. You don't even know what you're doing for him now. If you give yourselves to him and you cooperate with him and let him cooperate with you, believe you me, there are lots of things Jesus wants done in this world at this time, and he can't do it himself because he limited himself. He said, I'm not going to do it. I want human beings to do it. And when you say, Jesus, here I am, I'll do it for you. You tell me what it is, I'll do it. He'll say, oh, thank you very much. And he will help you. Because in helping you, he's helping himself. So let us, let Jesus lead us all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? If we say, Jesus, lead me, he will use us. And we won't know how much good we've done till we get on the other side. Mary doesn't know how much good she did. Martha doesn't know how much good she did. And we may not know how much good we do. But with Jesus working with us, we will do, and he will let us know when we get over there. Gracious Father, thank you for using Martha to do so much good. Please, here we are. We want you to work through us so that we may do good things in your name. Lead us, we pray, every step of the way. For Jesus' sake, amen.